Ahab and Jezebel. We know that this story here in particular is a negative story in their life. In fact, it's the last story of their lives. You see the scene here, I think, as you think about what's going on. There's a man here by the name of Naboth, and he has a vineyard. And as I've studied, it's even thought that maybe he was, you know, you think of him being the poor guy and the king comes in and takes him, but he could have been well off. We're not really told. It doesn't really matter. But the king wanted his land. The king wanted his field. He said, I want that for my own. And Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me, and he would not give it to him. And Ahab went and complained and whined, and like a little child, become just petulant and turned his face against the wall, wouldn't eat, and had a hunger strike. And Jezebel said, you leave it to me, honey. I'll take care of it. And she sets Naboth up, and Naboth dies from this. Now, we're going to go on and look at this, what happens at the end. But here we see a man by the name of Naboth who says something I think that all of us need to hear. I think that all of us need to be reminded. And that is that Satan wants your field. And this morning, you got to ask yourself the question, what is your field? Your field could be that thing that God has given you. He said this, Naboth says, by way of introduction, Naboth says, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto me. I'm not going to give, Ahab, to you what God has blessed and given to me. As we think about the 4th of July, I don't know if this is 4th of July weekend or next weekend's 4th of July weekend. I'm not sure. But as we think about our country, we think about our nation, we've went a long ways from what, I mean, John Adams said, there ought to be great celebrations during this time of year. And great merriment ought to be had for the freedom that our country said and our country set forth. And our country said to the tyranny of England at that time, not our field. You're not taking what we've got. You're not going to tax us without any representation. You're not going to do those things. And the preachers preached those types of things and said, it's not right to have tyranny. You need to have freedom to do what God wants you to do. And we're not giving up to our oppressors what God has blessed us with. And they basically said, not my field. Now, what I want to submit to you this morning, church, is that Satan wants your field. Now, you got to ask yourself, what is my field? It's your marriage. It's your Christian walk. It's the blessings that God's given. It's your children. It's your church. It's your community. It's your job. It's all the different blessings. How many know that God has blessed us this morning? I said, God has blessed us this morning. We forget how great it is that God has blessed us. Many of us have had health and life, and we are, as I preached this morning about, or taught in our Sunday school class about being anxious as Christians. We are anxious and concerned and depressed and discouraged when really and truly we ought to be thanking God and praising God because God has been good to us. The same thing Ahab or Naboth realized that, and he said, not my field. Now, I'm going to give you an outline here and just some thoughts, and we'll go home. Number one thing we see that Naboth did, first of all, is he did not settle. He did not settle. When the world came knocking, he didn't say, okay, I'll give in. Now, we know that we fight three big enemies in our Christian life. When a person gets saved and trusts Christ as their Savior, they fight the world, the flesh, our own flesh, and who? Satan, the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil are our three enemies. And when they come knocking, Naboth did not settle. He didn't say, you know what, I'll go ahead, and this seems like a good deal. And he didn't use rational thought as far as what the world would say. He didn't say, well, hey, I can be better off financially. He didn't make some deal with the devil, so to speak, or the world. He did not settle and say, I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and I'll give in to the desires of my flesh and of this world. He didn't settle despite the deception. Now, we know that there's a deceiving that's going on here. Ahab could have had anything he wanted. He was the king, and he could have done whatever he wanted. He wanted, and he wanted him to give in, so he didn't settle despite the deception, despite the deal. There was a deal that was being made. Most of us, if Satan comes with a pretty good deal, we seem like we take it hook, line, and sinker. But it's never a good deal. The bait on the hook is never a good deal. There's a hook in the bait. That's why it's called that. It didn't settle despite the devil. Let me say something to you this morning, church. Satan is doing everything he can for us to sell our fields and for us to give in. I see our churches. I see our nation. I see our communities. I see our families. I see our ministries. I see our homes. I see our families. I see our teenagers, our young people, our young couples, our older. It don't matter who you are. If we're not careful, Satan will come by and say, here, I want your field. I want what you have. We see this everywhere we turn. It is all over our social media. I have several social media. I keep up with it. A lot of young people. I kind of keep up with what's going on. I try to. I'm still kind of ignorant to it. But one thing I've learned even this week, that social media is dominated by the homosexual movement. And it's unbelievable. You kind of forget. You know, I'm kind of in that in-between generation. Some of y'all that are older than me, y'all remember a time when you didn't hear any of it. I'm kind of where it started. And our young people, that's all they've ever heard. And so we forget sometimes what it really means to just be a, you say, well, that's normal. What does normal even mean? And the reason is because we settle. We say, well, it doesn't really matter. We'll do whatever we want to do. We'll kind of go. And if anybody says anything negative, you're being a bigot and you're being hateful. You're being mean. Our ancestors, our forefathers would roll over their graves if they saw this wickedness. They said George Washington didn't allow people to even speak ill. He wrote his rules of civility. You ought to read them. About standing up and looking at people and all those things. A lot of that stuff come from George Washington, his etiquette and how you ought to treat somebody. His number one goal in life is to be a gentleman. God forbid. It's unbelievable how far we've came. Now we're so crass. And you say, what do you mean, Brother Dallas? What we've done is we've settled and said, well, it doesn't matter. It's not that big a deal. And we've settled. He did not settle. Second thing, he did not submit. Now the enemy wants us to give in and give up and give out and throw up the flag and submit. There was two things he didn't submit. One thing, he did not submit his home. Now, you got to remember something here. He had this, and Ahab come to him and says, hey, I want to make it a garden of herbs, or what we would say today, a vegetable garden. He said, I want this, and it's near my house, and I'll give you a better vineyard than it. I'll make sure you're taken care of. But the problem was, that was his home. The problem was that was his heritage. See, nowadays we act like heritage don't mean anything. We've kind of given up our heritage. We say, I really don't matter. That's all in the past. And by the way, I don't think you ought to live in the past, but you don't give up your heritage. We don't want to give in, give up, and give everything that God has given us, that God has blessed us with. And right here, he didn't submit because it was his home. It was his heritage. He said, I'm not going to do that. And I know we're living in a time where, as we think about July 4th in America's independence. I think of over the years how that our independence has been challenged again and again and again. And we said no. December the 7th, 1941, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, we said no. You're not going to come. You're not going to take over America. We're not going to have this. And we rallied together because it was our home. Our ancestor, some of y'all's family members went and fought, and they sent that money, that little bit of money that they had, they sent it back to their home, to their moms, and to their dads. They sent it back to their sweetheart. They carried a picture of their sweetheart or their wife or their children as they went and fought and bled and died. Now, why? Because it was their home. And what happened was, is they right here, Naboth said, I'm not submitting my home. It's shocking to me how many men today who act like they're great, powerful, strong men give up their home. Give it up to Satan. Give it up to their own flesh. Give it up to the wiles of the devil. Say, hey, I'll just let them have it. It don't matter to me. God help us. We need to say, not my fields. Not my children. Not my marriage. Not my home. Not my life. Not my ministry. Not what God's blessed us with. God's been good to us. God sent his son for us. God gave me salvation. We're not going to give this up. Hey, not our field. Naboth said his home. And his heritage, because you notice here in verse 3, he said, the Lord forbid it me. The Lord forbid. I don't think it even crossed his mind. I don't think he even contemplated it. So the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And you can cross-reference that back to Leviticus 25. And that God had given this. This was very important to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. That it was a giving from God. We need to understand, church, this morning, God has blessed us. We act like in America that we made something. I think of the songs as Brother Young sang this morning. I think if you look at some of the other songs, I think of that. It says, God shed his grace on thee. Read those, some of those songs. There's a lot of spiritual truth in those. How? Why were those written? It's because our country said, we trust and believe God. And it's only by the grace of God. It's not because we're the most industrious and we're the most... How do we become... Where does industry come from? Where does prosperity come from? Where does health and life come from? Most of us whine and complain today. We are living in the most blessed time in human history. Amen? God's been good to us. But he didn't settle. He didn't submit his heritage. We did not submit our heritage. We have people today rewriting history. They did not do that. And then thirdly, by way of an outline, he did not sell. He did not sell. We need to put a sign up, not for sale. I see these trucks sometimes. These dump trucks going down the road and have a thing that says, not for hire. And I think what that means is that they're working for a certain company or an outfit, and so you can't just come up to them on the street and say, hey, you take a load of that to my house, I'll pay you. No, they're working for a company that says, not for hire. They're already owned and working for another company. Someone may have a nice vintage car, and everybody wants to buy it, you know, and you might have to put it, no, not for sale. I've been to these places that maybe in a store to have something that's old, like an antique. I said, man, that's cool. I like to buy that. And I lift it and have a sticker on there. And I went to this one place and I kept seeing NFS. NFS. I forget what it was. I was going to buy a doorstop. I said, it said NFS. I said, what's that NFS? Because I'm so dumb. I said, not for sale. Oh, so you got in the store that you're selling stuff. That says not for sale. Yes. Not for sale. Let me say something to you. What we need to do is put some tags on us that says not for sale. Not for sale. I feel sorry for our young people today. They're getting bombarded all the time. Do you want to sell? Do you want to sell? Do you want to sell? Hey, will you sell it for this? Will you sell it for that? Hey, anybody ever sold anything and then you wish you'd never sold it? You ever done that? You ever sold something and then you wish you hadn't sold it? Anybody? No? We've all done that, haven't we? Man, I wish I hadn't sold that out. Hey, let me tell you something, church, this morning. You and I need to make sure that we're not for sale. We need to make sure. Hey, I see preachers sometimes. It's the highest bidder. I see churches and ministries. And, hey, Satan comes by and says, hey, if you'll not be saved, if you'll not look to Jesus, I'll give you something else. I'll supplant him any way I can. He wasn't for sale because he trusted God. He wasn't for sale and he told the truth and he turned away. Now, let me tell you something. When you're not for sale, you have to trust God. You're going to have to tell the truth, and you may have to turn some away. Most of us don't like to turn away. Here comes the king, and he said, no, I'm not doing that, king. I'm not giving in. I'm not doing that. Now, you say, what's that got to do with us? How many Christians today that say they love the Lord, that have trusted Christ as their Savior, but when the devil calls, or when the world calls, or when the government calls, we give in. We throw up that white flag. Well, you know, I couldn't really help it. I had to give in. This sermon needs to be preached to young people. It needs to be preached to adults. It needs to be preached to ourselves. Hey, you have to be careful. Say, hey, not my field. No, you're not having that. You're not taking my field. Whatever your field is, I'm not giving that. Let me give you four thoughts about this and we'll go home. Number one, it is time for us as a church and us as a people to quit settling. It is time for us to quit settling. And I could give you, and I don't want to get personal or be too harsh or mean, but we could go through history and talk about, for example, Harvard University, Yale University, Princeton University. Did you know that Princeton University, which now you would be very, I don't think you'd go over very good if you preached the gospel, actually turned out some of the most notable gospel preachers in American history? Some of their books that they wrote are that we still have in our preacher libraries. Harvard University was a training institute for preachers. And now you would be remiss to do that. I mean, man, you're liable to get thrown in jail. Y'all know this. I'm not saying anything you don't know. What happened to us? I'm going to tell you what. We settled. We said, well, we don't want to upset, and we don't. Yes, sometimes they may do. Hey, it is time for people to get upset. We've worried too much about the devil's feelings and the world's feelings instead of God's feelings. You can offend anybody today in our culture. You can't offend anybody today, but you can offend God all you want to. And I'm not going to just get political. I'm not going to talk about right wing and left wing and Democrat and Republican. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about Bible. And what happens is Satan comes in and he's reset the stage. And if people believe the word of God, well, you're a bigot, Brother Dallas. You're narrow. Let me tell you something. We ought to be as narrow as this book is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Jesus was so narrow. Was he narrow? There was nobody that ever loved like Christ loved. There's nobody that ever gave his life like Christ did. There's no other religion like Christianity. It is the founding of our nation. Had we been founded by Buddhism, friend, we wouldn't be here. Had we been founded by atheists, we would not be here. Had we been founded any other way, America would not be here. We literally wouldn't be here. We literally wouldn't be here. Because we were founded upon the Word of God. The rule of law. Read books like Blackstone, which up until the late 1800s was really the book that was used in our law. Now we use precedent law, which means whatever the majority says. See, before that, we used what God's Word says. And our ancestors based that on the writings of a man named Blackstone in England, and our forefathers based that on this is what God's Word says. There is right and there is wrong according to God. Not according to what man says. How do we go from being okay to murder babies? How did that happen in a nation that says it's Christian? If I was another country and I said, y'all say you're a Christian nation, but yet you can kill little babies. You murder them. You murder them. How does that happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens. You get away from the moorings of the Word of God. In the Word of God, we are told that Jeremiah was fearfully and wonderfully made. In the Word of God, it's the Word of God that tells us that before we were formed in our mother's belly, God knew us. You don't find that anywhere else but Scripture. That has nothing to do with politics, by the way. That's what God's Word says. And so we've got to understand this morning, church, number one, it is time for us to quit settling. I feel sorry for our young people. I feel sorry for them. I preach a sermon every so often called Stay in the Castle. Got a little booklet. It's talking about how Christian young people ought to stay in God's castle and do what God wants for their life. But they're so bombarded all the time to get out of the castle. Don't listen to mom and dad. They're old fogies, man. Come on, man. Be cool, man. Have you ever noticed that being cool is really another thing of saying get into sin? It's usually very rarely cool. It's usually mess. And you say, well, what's a big deal? I'm going to tell you, it is a big deal. It is ruining us. It's ruining our nation one by one. Well, I thank God this morning we can say, not my field. It's time to quit settling. Hey, young person, by the way, I don't care. You can be an older person. It don't matter who you are. You can give in. Hey, we're not told Naboth's age here. Probably was a little bit older. Don't settle. Don't listen. Whatever the world, let me say something to you. Whatever the world has for you is not what as good as what God has for you. Anybody? I said, whatever the world has for you is not as good as what God has for you. You see, the world tells you all this, but hell's the portion at any time. At any moment, a person can slip off into eternity. It's time to quit settling. Now, I know what you're thinking. Let me say this right in the middle of the sermon. As I was preparing this, I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. This didn't work out for Naboth very good. He stood for God. He did what God, I believe he did what God wanted him to do. Didn't sell out. He didn't settle. He stood for right and truth. And it got him killed. They made a false accusation and brought it up in court. And we all know the legal system's always perfect. And how many of you know this? It's just as corrupt as mankind. And they hoodooed him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they stoned him for it. And I looked at that and I said, wait a minute here. It kind of reminds you of some others in the scriptures. And like, oh, I don't know. Maybe you heard of him, John the Baptist, the great preacher, one of the greatest men. Jesus said, the greatest man. Of course, he said, I'm not even able to tie Jesus' shoes. But Jesus said there was never a man born of a woman like John the Baptist. What happened to John the Baptist? Y'all remember? He stood for truth and right. He was a leather lug. We said, man, we need some old-fashioned leather lug, on fire for God preachers. That's what we need. I think that's why John Baptist preached, don't you? I mean, I think he preached. He said, it's not right. I mean, he's slobbering, spitting, and sweating, and slinging. I mean, he said, hey, you're not right. Boy, I tell you, we'd have been like, praise God, thank God for John the Baptist. Let it fly. Preach on, son. Tear you off the spot. Shuck that corn. Come on now. Amen. What happened to him? Took his head off his shoulder, didn't it? By the way, I've noticed something here, ladies. Women right in the middle of all this. Herodias, Jezebel. Men are not the only ones that can get into sin. We see it right here in the scriptures. But he stood for right and he got killed. Now, you say, Brass, that don't seem right. I think about the missionaries that have given their life. I think about the martyrs for the faith over the centuries. But remember now, remember, church, this is not the end of the story. This earth is not all there is to it. There is coming a day. There is coming a day. Now, if you read this whole account here, and I'm not going to take time this morning, but if you go on and read, starting at verse 15 on, you'll find here this, if I can say it this way, I mean this not sacrilegiously at all, but this was the nail in the coffin for Jezebel and Ahab. In fact, they get wiped off the planet. The whole line, you read it, it's in. It looks like they win, doesn't it? Man, they've all stood and they just killed him. Man, Herodias cut John the Baptist's head. They cut his head off. Why? How can we win? Let me tell you something, friend. Hey, it's not entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. We don't live for this world. Too many of us are in love with this world. We sing songs about heaven for a reason. We preach about heaven for a reason. We serve God for a reason. Hey, how many know this morning? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, if you read your founding fathers, you'll see words. You'll see this word mentioned a lot. Our posterity. Our posterity. What that means is our children, children's children's children. They realized that it wasn't just about them. See, we got to understand this morning. We got to understand we don't know. I don't know. Y'all may hear me preaching. Be like, Brother Dice, he's all right. But my little grandson, who I think had to be walked out of service this morning, I may die before he even remembers. I may die. He may not even remember me. But he may get back here in a closet and get a sermon that his old papa preached, and God may get a hold of his heart, and I may just preach a sermon just for him, and I have no idea. I've heard people preach and sing and do things, and I'm like, man, they had no idea that I ever heard this, and God spoke to my heart. I remember a few years ago, I was in Pensacola, Florida, and a man called me from like deep into Texas, like down on the Mexican-Texas border, and he said, preacher, I just want you to know I heard your sermon, and man, God did something in my life. Let me tell you something, friend, you and I don't know what God's going to do. We have no idea. You and I, most of us do not know who our founding fathers were personally. We read about them, we study about them. Don't know them. I don't know those preachers that stood. I read some of their sermons and I get motivated when I read what they wrote. And I say, man, well, this is unbelievable. He ought to be our heroes. In America, we made sports figures our heroes. We quit making Patrick Henry our hero. And now we make, you know, some ball player our hero. God help us. It's time for quit selling. Secondly, it is time to get eternity in view. What's hard to look? It's hard to think about eternity, isn't it? It's really hard to think about eternity. We don't understand eternity. It's hard for us to imagine that. But it's time for us to get that in view. Because we settle and we sell out in our lives. And right here, Naboth realized this. He said, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He realized, hey, this is bigger than me. He said, hey, this ain't just about me. This is about God. This is about my children. This is about our country. Hey, I can't give this up. He said, well, I'm just a drop in the bucket. Well, so was Naboth. But if you have many, you have enough Naboths, it gets bigger and bigger. Can you imagine if our country said for just one day, Christians in America just said no? No, not our field. Not today. Not today, Satan. You're not getting my grandbaby. No, sir, I'm praying for him today. You're not getting my child. You're not getting my life. God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to trust you. It's time to get eternity in view. We think about now. I see so many. And by the way, I don't care how old you get. You can live such selfish lives. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Go where I want to go. Live my own life. Well, I'm having a big time. What good's that going to do you? When it's all said and done, you might have a picture album somewhere. That's awesome. Good. Good for you. Nothing wrong with that necessarily. What's it going to matter in eternity? Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Thirdly, real quickly, it's time to say no despite the appearance. You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to say no. Anybody know how hard it is to say no? I like saying yes. I hate to say no because every time in my life, it seems like that I say no, a problem comes. If you want everybody to like you, say yes. You want somebody to get mad at you, just say no. Watch it. Watch it. Say no. Oh, I can't believe this. He told me. Blah, 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 blah. Same thing happened to Naboth. If Naboth said, go ahead. Well, maybe Ahab and Jezebel would have loved him. Every preacher's faced with this all the time. If I say yes to somebody, oh, Brother Dallas, you're such a nice man. We love you. They may love me, but is that what God wants? They may love me, but is that what my family needs? By the way, parents, sometimes our kids come to us and we know this, don't you? And man, you want to be that cool. It's a temptation, I should say, to be that cool parent. Says, hey, Mom and Dad, they're getting together and they're going to go over here. Can I go? And you muster up all the courage. You know, as soon as you say this, they're going to pout. They're going to whine. They're going to look at their feet. And they're going to, and man, you just, after a while, anybody know what I'm talking about? You say no. Now, I love my mama for one thing. She was good at telling me no. I think she practiced. I pick at her. I think she practiced it. No. I think she practiced saying that word. She didn't even know. Hey, I could start it. Nope. I could eat. Somebody ain't finished yet. So I'm going to mow the yard, take out the trash, you know. She'd say no before I even got started. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, thank God for somebody told you no. You know one of the biggest things we need in our country is somebody somewhere to say no. And everybody gets mad when they say no. No, you can't do that. And no. And we've got all kinds of political turmoil because somebody says no. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes somebody's got to say no. We have to learn to say no despite the appearance. Because when I look here at Naboth as a human being, I say, wait a minute, Naboth. How important is this? He's going to give you more money. He's going to give you a better field. You're going to have a better deal. Well, isn't Satan sneaky sometimes? In the world, isn't our own flesh sneaky sometimes? I mean, if I do this, it's going to be okay. In fact, it might even be better. I remember a few years ago, there was a big movement coming across our country, and I got a phone call about it. Oh, man, they were eating me. Oh, man, we want you to be involved. We want you to be a big part of this. We want you to bring your people, and we want you, you know. And I was like, oh, man, I might be cool. I might be one of those preachers that is cool. Because everybody has to be cool. You know, anything, do anything to be cool, right? And I said, I don't know. I want to. But I can't. I read my word, I can't. In my heart, I can't. When I look around me, I can't. God, I think about the God's discernment, God's in me, I can't. And I watched that movement just go haywire. So glad I didn't. Boy, at that moment, it sure appeared like and everybody could, man, you getting involved, man, this is good. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. Oh, well, and man, as a preacher, I thought, man, Lord, all these churches just going to pass me by and pass us by, and boy, we're just going to be the little church on the road. Somebody said, you're going to be like a dinosaur. I've had that said to me. You know what I say to that? Rawr. Y'all ain't going to remember anything else I preach but that. I mean, good preachers that I know said, we're dinosaurs. I said, rawr, let them growl. I don't care. Because here's the thing about it. I wasn't put here to be cool. God didn't call me to come in here and tell y'all, hey, everything's going to be all right, and we're going to do this and this, and we'll get a big number, a big crowd. God called me to be your preacher to tell you the truth. Got to preach the truth. It's time to say no despite what it looks like. Hey, young people, it may look a certain way. Well, if I take that job, if I date that person, if I move to that spot, well, everything's going to work out for me. Be very careful. And then, lastly this morning, it's time to trust God, really. You know what America needs? We know this, don't we? And we said, well, if we get the right politician in the White House, if we can get the right person on the Supreme Court, if we can get the right governor, the right senator, the right local politicians, and by the way, I think there's some truth in that. I think we'd be honest about it. But have y'all know this? What America needs more than ever is God. We can talk about our church. Well, our church, man, we just need the money to put the roof on. Yeah, we do. Man, we just need some money to get some things fixed and to updo our buildings. Absolutely. Man, we just need an influx of people, and we need to see. Absolutely. All those things are true. But let me tell you what we really need more than ever is God. It's the Lord. I got a little grandson. I want him to be a good ball player. I want him to be a good student. I want him to love his poppy. I want him to go fishing. And I want to teach him how to be a little Peyton and be tough and rough. But you know what he really needs? He don't need my library. He don't need my very small fishing abilities. What he needs is the Lord that we serve. He needs Christ. If I could leave anything to him and you could leave anything, what we need, and I said, well, you're supposed to say that. But yes, it needs to be said. We need to trust God. Hey, Naboth said, come what may. John the Baptist said, come what may. Hey, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Our country was built on the backs of men and women that said, whatever comes, we will hazard our very lives for the cause of freedom so that a man can stand up in 2018 and preach the word of God in freedom. It's time to trust God. God took care of Naboth in eternity. When you and I pass off the scene and we enter to the golden portals of heaven, as the old preachers used to say, when we are coursing through the streets of glory, we'll be able to see Moses and John. Can you imagine meeting John the Baptist? Now, I know you're not going to be intimidated in heaven, but I'm just going to be honest with you. When I meet John the Baptist, think about my little ministry. I'm like, hey, that's John the Baptist. You're going to see a man by the name of Naboth. You'll see him in glory because he trusted God. He looked to God. But I'll tell you who you're not going to meet. You're not going to meet Ahab. You're not going to meet Jezebel, according to the word of God. You see, we look and say, oh man, it looks like Brother Dallas said they won. They did in the world's eyes. They did in people's eyes, maybe at that time. I'm sure that Naboth was the laughing. Look at Naboth. He's going to. I tell you what, honey, you better not say no to this king. He'll kill you. But the Bible says later on the dogs came up and licked and lapped up Jezebel, Ahab. And here this morning, we're lifting up a man by the name of Naboth. What you and I need to do as we leave this building today is we need in our mind and in our hearts say this, not my field. Not my field. Not my family. Not my walk with Christ. Not my job. Whatever it is that God's given you, your job, your ministry, your church. Because if we don't do that, there won't be any left. How many of y'all know this? Somebody said this years ago. If you give Satan an inch, he'll become ruler. If you give him an inch, you give him a toehold, he'll keep creeping. Some of y'all this morning, you know, hey, you've had some of these, and you've kind of let Satan get a toehold in the field of your life, and he just keeps coming a little further and a little further. And this morning as you hear this, you say, man, I should have said no to him a long time ago. I should have said no to him a long time ago. When I was a young preacher, I had preachers that give me some good counsel. One was right here in our area, and he was a man that I didn't even think hardly even liked or knew me. And I remember he said, whatever you do, and he got back to me, he didn't even tell me this person. He said, whatever you do, he said, do not give in just a little bit, because if you do, he said, you'll end up being way farther than you ever thought you'd be. We're living in a country that we give and give and give, and now look where we're at. And if you're not careful, that'll happen in your life, it'll happen in your home, it'll happen between you and the Lord. Let me say something to you. Say in your heart and mind as you leave this building today, not my field. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart. I thank you for our people. I pray you'd encourage them.